Our gospel for this day is the gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter, beginning with the 13th verse. You have just heard Craig read these from Scripture, these characteristics of what it means to be Christ-like. Those are virtues and characteristics and values that God desires to embed in us. Now we hear from the gospel a perspective from Jesus on how it is that we look at and handle our possessions. In this series entitled Life with Luke, we've been taking a look at teachings of Jesus throughout our summer. And so today, Jesus deals specifically with possessions. Listen to these words from Jesus, this episode in the life of Jesus from Luke chapter 12. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me to be a judge or arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. For a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." Then he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a great crop. And he thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place, no room to store all these crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down all my barns. I'll build bigger ones, and there I will have room to store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, I have plenty of good things laid up for many, many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, be merry." Then God said to him, "You fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. And then who will take what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up for himself but is not rich toward God." These are the words from Scripture for us this day. I invite you to please be seated. We seem to be having a little trouble with our microphone today, so we're going to switch. To another forum. Maybe. Are we on? Maybe. How good are you at reading lips? We'll find out. Well, today, as we're going to see if this helps a little bit. We don't know what's. We've tried all kinds of things with our PA system, and maybe it's this microphone I'm wearing. We'll find out. But would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, we thank you for the gospel today. It's challenging. It's a tough one. When it comes to possessions and money and those things that are near and dear to us, it's tough to have a heavenly perspective on some of those things. Yet, you and your grace desire for us to live a life that is full of joy, full of abundance, full of eternal perspective. And so, give us your perspective this day on how it is that we value and how it is that we use the blessings you've brought into our lives. In your name, amen. So the story is told about a certain wealthy man and his son. The wealthy man had a keen eye for art, and he had a passion for collecting great art, the artworks of Picasso, Rembrandt, Van Gogh. He loved to collect them. And his son also had a passion for great art as well. And so not only would this wealthy man collect, but he and his son would oftentimes sit together and just look at the nuances of the art and appreciate the way in which God had gifted the artist to create this wonderful creation on canvas. They'd spend hours together. It was kind of a bonding time for them to spend that time. Well, war broke out in that country, and the son went off to fight. He was a very good soldier. He was courageous. And he was particularly good at watching out for his fellow soldiers. He was always
watching out for their well-being. And one day their battalion was engaged in a combat situation, and he was busy helping take the wounded to a safe place. It was kind of his mission to make sure that everybody was cared for, and he did that for several soldiers. And then as he was carrying one young man and one young soldier to a place of safety, he was shot and he was killed. When the news reached the father, you can imagine how heartbroken he was. Can't imagine receiving that news, how difficult that must have been. Absolutely heartbroken. It was sometime later that a young man appeared on his doorstep. The man introduced himself as a soldier that had fought alongside his son. In fact, not just any soldier, but the soldier whom his son was carrying to safety when his son was shot and killed. So the father invited him in. And the soldier had in his possession a package. He said, you know, one of the things that your son and I would talk about is your love and his love for art. And I'm not much of an artist. I'm really not. But I did paint a portrait of your son. And I wanted to give that to you. The father unwrapped it. And although the quality of the painting was not Rembrandt or Van Gogh, what amazed him was the ability of this young soldier to capture the personality of the son in the twinkle of his eye and in the characteristics, the way he held his body. Everything about that painting totally captured the personality of his son. He treasured that painting more than any of the other more expensive paintings. He put it above the mantle in his fireplace. He would look at it daily and think about many things. In fact, when others came to look at his collection of artwork, he would always show them the portrait of the son first. And he'd spend time telling the story about his son. Well, one day the father passed away, and he'd made arrangements for there to be an auction to sell off all these valuable paintings, because he didn't want to just keep them where nobody could appreciate them. He wanted people to have an opportunity to perhaps put them in their collection and have others see them. So they had held an auction. And as the auctioneer began the auction, he raised his gavel. He declared that the auction was in session. And the first portrait, the first painting, was the picture of the son. And he said, with this we begin our auction today. Who will bid? What's your first bid? There was dead silence. Nobody made a bid. And he said, I need to have a bid on this portrait of the son. Who will bid? $100, who will bid? Nobody. In fact, after just a little bit, some of the people who had come because they wanted an opportunity at these masterpieces began to get impatient and said, you know, please dispense of this, skip this painting. We want to get on to the good art. And the auctioneer said, no, we auction off this one first. And finally, from the back of the room came the voice of the gardener who worked all these years for the father and the son. He said, I'll bid $10. It's really all about he could afford. He bid $10. So the auctioneer said, $10. Who will give me 20? Silence. Total silence. Then he finally said, $10 it is. Going once, going twice, sold. $10. And with that, he laid down his gavel. While the people that were there said, oh, good, now we can get on with the auction. But as the auctioneer laid down his gavel, he said, no, the auction is closed. You see, there was a secret stipulation in the will that I was not to disclose at this time, but the stipulation is this, that the portrait of the son was to be auctioned off first. And whoever got the son got everything. The entire estate, including the portraits and the paintings. For you see, whoever gets the son gets everything. That's part of what Jesus was trying to say to those today who are so consumed with possessions. Your perspective is out of whack. Whoever gets the Son gets everything, regardless of what possessions we may or may not have. This past Thursday, we had a memorial service here at Good Shepherd. It's a memorial service for the mom of one of our members. And this is a mom who 59 years ago yesterday graduated as a nurse. She spent her entire life being a nurse. She was, by all accounts, a great, great caregiver. Until that point in her life when she began to experience dementia. And so her daughter lived with her and helped care for her. And in moments when dementia had really robbed her of everything, there were some moments of clarity. And in those moments of clarity, this is the phrase she always said. You know what, though? Jesus still loves us. She may have been confused about everything else in her world near the end of her life. But in those few moments of clarity, she would say that simple phrase over and over again. You know what, though? Jesus still loves us. She clung to that hope and that promise, and it gave her peace. Because even in the midst of possessions, or when she was losing possessions, what gave her peace was she knew, you know what, though? Jesus still loves us. That was the essence of the message we had at her memorial service this past Thursday. And it really applies to our gospel for today, I believe. Today's gospel is a parable about possessions. It's a parable about the Son. It's a parable about priorities and perspective. Jesus says in the parable for today, a person's life does not consist in the abundance of their possessions. We seem to grapple with that a lot, don't we? This time of year, we've got kids heading off to college. You've probably noticed college isn't cheap these days. Those grappling with college costs, it's a big burden. In fact, the subject of college expenses and debt and loans is a big subject for our political climate today as well. It's that big a deal. Many this time of year are relocating, and our new senior pastor, Pastor Mark, will be relocating from Sweden at the end of August. He will begin at Good Shepherd, and he and his wife Christy are in the midst of buying a new house, and that's a big deal. And others among us are looking at our stock portfolios, well, those who have them regularly. And today, conversations of tariffs and conversations of the expense of health care, all of those things are big deals. Money matters, doesn't it? And when it comes to money matters, Jesus had a lot to say about it. Jesus talks about it a lot. In fact, it's interesting that when it comes to money matters and possessions, Jesus seems to be on the side of the poor and often is critical of the rich. It's going to be interesting to hear the stories of those who eventually return from Honduras sometime later today about their perspective on life now that they've encountered what they've encountered in one of the poorest nations on earth. In the musical Fiddler on the Roof, Tevye has some things to say about possessions. He reflects on the subject this way. Would it spoil some vast eternal plan if I were a rich man? Rich is such a relative term, isn't it? Most of us would probably not consider ourselves rich, and yet by the world's standards, we are among the elite. We wallow in wealth compared to oh so many in our world. Americans have been known to brag about the millions of millionaires among us, and most of us would probably like to be among them. The Bible says this, If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we're of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has risen from the dead, the first fruits of those who've gone to sleep. For you see, whoever has the Son has everything. So how do we understand that in the context of today's gospel? Biblically speaking, there seems to be two biblical reasons why God promotes the poor. One is wealth is all too often piled up through injustice. And secondly, the itch to be rich is a sister of greed. Sadly, in our world today, wealth is often gained through injustice. Yet we worship a God who desires justice, don't we? The Hebrews say it this way: to know God is to do justice. That was a hallmark of their understanding of God. To know God is to do justice. Not just to talk about it, to do justice. The second biblical reason that God seems to promote the poor is that the itch to be rich is biblically equated as a sister of greed. And greed is consistently lifted up in Scripture as one of the seven deadly sins. A fundamental life question seems to be, how much can I make? Instead of, how much good can I accomplish with the blessings that God has brought into my life? The man in our gospel for today is a prime example of one who seems to be possessed by his possessions. Greed has become his God. His fundamental question has become, how much can I make and how much can I get and how much can I store and how much can I keep? Instead of, how much good can I do with this good crop? How can this be an incredible blessing to the one who's blessed me so incredibly? His thoughts are focused solely on himself. There are no plans here to share with the poor or the needy. His only plan is to hog everything for himself, to store it up, to take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. The words of the teacher, Jesus the rabbi, are these: watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for a person's life does not consist in the abundance of their possessions. And Jesus calls the rich man what? A fool. A fool, because his time on earth is near the end and he's done nothing, absolutely nothing, to share his blessings with others or to even give a thought to eternal life. And this word of judgment, which seems harsh, is actually intended to be a word of life for us, a warning that leads us to another set of values. Greed and envy and the desire to pile up money and possessions can be overwhelming in our society. The Romans had a proverb about this condition. They said, money is like seawater. The more a person drinks, the thirstier they become. Gandhi said this: earth provides enough for everyone's need, but not enough for everyone's greed. So, the Apostle Paul continues this discussion by saying that the lust for idolatry is referencing any appetite that's out of control. Love turned into lust, profits turned into greed, the desire for money or power or possessions that becomes devouring. One of the things I really appreciate about the financial planner that Shay and I have is he's always asking the question, as we prepare for our future, he's always asking the question, how can you use your resources in the best possible way to be generous for the sake of others? We look at our portfolio. He invites us to look at our portfolio that way. How can you use the blessings you've received to be generous with others. It's a foundational piece of our planning for the future. I love the fact that this beautiful building that God has given us does not sit empty. I love the fact that when I go to the admin staff and ask for a room, they say, you know, Pastor, it's hard to find a room around here. They are used so much. It warms my heart to know that this past week, when many church buildings may well have been unoccupied, this church building was filled with special needs students and adults who had a camp here, in fact have for the past couple of weeks. And good things are happening, and relationships are developing, and they're being cared for with the blessing of this beautiful building. It's not sitting empty. It's not just being stored. It's being used for good. I love the fact that a short time ago, we had NASA students in here, or students taking a NASA course, differently gifted students. And relationships were developed as they use this beautiful facility for good. I love the fact that we're always mindful that this is a community blessing, or a blessing from God to be used for the sake of our community to reach and transform. And that's good, not just storing it away. So where are the parallels to be learned and lived this week? You know, each time we read Scripture, we should always be asking the questions, what did I learn about God from this passage? And what did I learn about me in this passage? And how can I apply what I've learned about God and me in this passage? That's how we study the Bible. That's how we learn and grow in relationship with Christ, when we ask those fundamental questions. So in this parable about possessions, what did we learn about God? What did we learn about me? What did we learn about how what we learned about God and me can be put into practice? Last night, Shay and I had the opportunity to drive up to Milwaukee. Had a wedding here yesterday afternoon. We drove up to Milwaukee last night for a big ELCA church event. It's a celebration of a campaign. Several years ago, Shay and I were fortunate enough to be asked to be part of the national ELCA malaria campaign. And we, Good Shepherd, we were a part of that campaign. God blessed you with generous hearts. And you should know that because of that blessing of God in your lives and the blessing of generous hearts, Good Shepherd was the number one contributor in the whole state of Illinois to the national malaria campaign. Now, here's the number that really is important. Through our efforts and the efforts of ELCA churches around the United States, we met and exceeded our goal of $15 million. That's important, but what's more important is that that money was dedicated to 13 countries in Africa where malaria is rampant. And not only has malaria been reduced significantly in those 13 countries, in some areas, malaria has been eliminated through vaccinations, through mosquito nets, through education, through a wide variety of efforts. It's made an incredible impact. Lives are being saved, and the gospel's being proclaimed. That's taking our resources and not just storing them up, but using them for good. 5 years ago, the ELCA noticed what we've noticed. Oh, so often we hear negative things about the church, not just the ELCA, but about church in general. Have we not heard about church scandals? Have we not heard about negative things that are happening around the entire country? The ELCA said, we need to really be intentional about the positive message of the gospel. We need to be aware that there are fewer students, not just only Lutheran students, but students in many different realms who are not preparing for ministry these days. And so they put together an initiative so that they might train more leaders, so that they might start more churches, so that they might continue the war on malaria by attacking hunger. And so in cooperation with a church-wide effort, a goal of $198 million was established, a goal to accomplish all of those things and really move the church forward in a time when church seems to be moving negatively, to move the church forward positively. And last night, through the generosity of people who are touched by gospels like this, by people like yourselves, who are not content to just leave their goods in the storehouse, but to use those goods for good, the goal of $198 million was exceeded to the point that the goal reached and proclaimed last night was $250 million raised. And what that means is this. In the past 5 years, the ELCA has started 365 new ministries, new churches and new ministries. At a time when many churches are going the opposite direction, we're starting new. Always being made new was the theme. At a time when fewer and fewer students are going to seminary, in these past years, 1,300 students have received scholarships for seminary who otherwise couldn't afford it. It's the highest number of seminary scholarships in the history of the Lutheran Church. And the 365 new starts is the highest number of new starts in that given time period in the history of our church. And the impact on hunger has been worldwide. Hunger has been not eliminated, we know that, but the impact has been profound. It's made a huge, huge difference. So, what are the parallel parables in our lives? Well, as we go through life, living with Luke and living with Christ, the truth is, as we reflect on gospels like this, whoever gets the Son gets everything. And so, as you go into your week this week, I'd love to have you take that story and that proclamation and that biblical truth with you and live that out in your life, every aspect of your life, whether it's your possessions or your time or every aspect of your life. For whoever gets the Son gets everything. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, we thank you so much for your Son, that you loved us, you cared for us, you sent your Son to die for us, to live for us, and to live eternally for us, that we too might live eternally. Lord, help us to look at every aspect of our lives in such a way that we too can be among those for whom that biblical truth resonates. Whoever gets the Son gets everything. In your name.